Thank you, Angus. And let us come before the throne of grace and worship the Lord with prayer. So please join me. Father God, once again we thank you for gathering us in your house this morning. This is the day of Sabbath, the day of the Lord. This is the day when we are called to come before you, to sing praises to you for who you are, and to give thanks to you for what you have done for us in the past week. O Lord, as we come now, as we draw close to you, may you draw close to us, as the song says. O Lord, we want to stand before you. We want to behold your majesty. We want to be filled by your Spirit. We want to receive your grace and mercy so that we can carry on this pilgrimage here on earth. O Lord, we wait on you. We long for you. We pray that you will come upon us and you will speak to each one of us this morning as we are about to open your word, to study it and to learn what you have to say to us this morning. O Lord, we also pray for one another. There may be those of us in our midst who are struggling with our personal sin, struggling with our walk with you, struggling with our relationships with other people, and there may be many other struggles. Oh Lord, we pray that you will draw us to you. Help us lay our burdens at your feet. May you give us that rest you have promised in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. O Lord, may we really come before you and once again be comforted, be strengthened, be encouraged, be filled with this love of God. And may we be encouraged by this eternal hope that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Help us to carry on. Help us to represent you well here on earth, to be the ambassadors of Jesus Christ our Lord. And Lord, we pray for our church, and we pray that you continue to show your way, your will to us so that we can walk accordingly. We know that your way, your will has been very clearly recorded in the Bible. So help us understand your word. Help us study it daily in private and weekly in public. Help us to study your word in our Bible study. Help us to study your word during the worship service. Help us to study your word every day. May you feed us, may you nourish our spirit so that we can be strong in the faith, so that we can walk according to how you want us to walk. And so, Lord, we commit the following time to you. May you speak to us through the working of your Holy Spirit. May the meditation that we do this morning be pleasing and acceptable to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We want to thank the worship team for leading us in worship this morning. The songs that they chose to sing for us are very good. And, you know, some of the lyrics are very appropriate for the occasion for this morning. And as I was standing there singing, and I thought, well, you guys have done half of the sermon already. So, you know, we can finish early today. All right? And in any case, It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. You know what's so special about today? According to the Christian church calendar. That's right. At least somebody heard my sermon last Sunday, and so you do the calculation. And today is Pentecost Sunday. Wow. Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost means 50. Originally, it was a Jewish festival, which is also called the Feast of Weeks. It's a festival of thanksgiving for the harvested crops, similar to our Thanksgiving in October every year. Now, Pentecost, or the Feast of the Weeks, is held 50 days after Passover. Now, Pentecost in church history was a unique occasion, just like the day when Jesus died, just like the day when Jesus rose from the dead, just like the day when Jesus ascended to heaven. We talked about that last Sunday. Pentecost happened once, and it will never be repeated again. 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, 10 days after his ascension, the Holy Spirit came down from heaven in a most powerful way. Jesus had promised that the Holy Spirit would come. He said to his disciples on the very last day, on the night when he was betrayed, in John 16, verses 7 and 8. If you have your Bible, you can turn with me. John 16, verses 7 and 8. There Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor," meaning the Holy Spirit, "will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment." And this is what the Lord said to his disciples before he was betrayed. And the Holy Spirit is Jesus' representative here on earth. He reveals the truth about Jesus. He convicts people of their sin so that they may see the need, they will see the need to be saved by Jesus. And the Holy Spirit helps us to carry out the great commission to make disciples of all nations. He will sanctify us. He will remain with us. He will remain with the church until the end of the age, that is, until Jesus Christ comes back again. That is what happened on the day of Pentecost. The Counselor came, and he remains with us till the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we revisit the event on the day of Pentecost, I pray that we have the yearning for the Spirit to come in his power, as the songs we sang just now. The songs helped us to really think, you know, what we need to do, how we can be filled by God. And I pray that we have that yearning for the Spirit to come and to fill us with his power, so that he can help us do great things for the Lord. Now, the first thing we notice in today's scripture passage, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Please turn to that passage again. The first thing we notice is that the disciples, altogether 120 of them, waited for Pentecost. In one of his resurrection appearances, Jesus Christ told the apostles in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. There Jesus Christ said, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Now, the apostles, the disciples were to remain in Jerusalem. They were to wait in Jerusalem because the Holy Spirit would come on them from heaven and give them power. Jesus Christ repeated this promise shortly before he ascended to heaven. And we kind of touched on that last Sunday. In chapter 1 of Acts, verse 8, Jesus Christ said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Perhaps I should ask the DI people to recite this verse, right? You guys should know this, right? Yeah, I shouldn't have read this to you guys. You guys should have got it memorized. Yeah, Jesus' promise of the Holy Spirit is very important because it is the Holy Spirit who came to help us to carry out the Great Commission. Jesus' promise of the Holy Spirit reminds us of his teaching elsewhere, found in John chapter 15, verse 5. There Jesus Christ says, again to his disciples, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." There in that chapter, Jesus Christ is talking to his disciples about the relationship between the vine and the branches. I think I spoke on that before I went to Hong Kong, almost a month back. The relationship between us, the branches, and Jesus Christ, the vine. And in verse 5 of chapter 15 of John, Jesus Christ says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Our Lord knows we are so weak and feeble. Our preaching the gospel and our prayers are ineffective. Our witnessing is ineffective. We share the good news with people, but they ignore what we have to say. It goes in one ear and out the other. And we can't lead people to Christ on our own. It's good to have a charming personality. It's good to befriend people. It's good to have training. But all this is not good enough. We need God's Spirit. And without God's Spirit, nothing is achieved. Surely, God is teaching us today, apart from me, you can do nothing. The church is weak. The church is feeble without the Holy Spirit. God is teaching us to look away from ourselves today, not to depend on any natural gifts that we have, not to depend on the numbers of people that we have in the service, in Bible study groups, or in different fellowship groups, not to depend on the talents that we have. Jesus Christ is teaching us to look away from ourselves, but to look totally to him, because he is the one that we can trust. He is the one we can depend on. He is the one who prayed to the Father to send the Holy Spirit to us. Apart from Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. Now, the second thing we notice in today's passage is that the disciples were all together in one place. The King James Version says they were all with one accord in one place. As the disciples waited for the Holy Spirit to come on them, there was unity, all with one accord. God, our Father, loves unity. Psalm 131, verse 1 says, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity." Our Father loves unity. He loves unity, and he demonstrates perfect unity and harmony and love in the Trinity, our Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. During the Last Supper, Jesus Christ taught his disciples in John 13, verses 34 and 35. Maybe I'll ask the DI people to recite them. You remember them? John 13, 34, 35. A new command I give you, right? Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Very good. Yes. This is what our Lord taught the disciples. That's how the world will know that we are Jesus' disciples. I remember how Jesus prayed to the Father and for his disciples and all of us in John chapter 17, verse 11. Jesus Christ prayed that they, meaning all his disciples, all his followers, may be one as he and the Father are one. One in him, one in unity, harmony, and love. If there is anything that grieves the Holy Spirit, surely it is quarreling. It is bitterness, envy, hatred, pride, jealousy, showing off, broken relationship, and breaking our unity and love in Jesus Christ. If there is anything that God hates the most, it's when his people fail to come together, to get united. Before Jesus died, the disciples were arguing as to who was going to be the greatest. They were fighting amongst themselves as to who would sit on the right hand and the left hand of Jesus Christ. And now we find them gathered together, and they are all of one accord. They are united. Brothers and sisters, don't let any of bitterness remain in you, in your fellowship, in your group, or in our church here. And whatever other people think about you, and they may cast you out, they may despise you, they may laugh at you, they may ridicule you, they may do silly things to you. Yes, all these things hurt. And I've experienced that myself too. Not only in this church, but in other churches too. But I thank God. He knows. Jesus Christ knows what I have gone through. And he comforts me. And he helps me to deal with them. And he says, I will strengthen you and I will help you with my righteous right hand. Right on. Jesus Christ knows. And so he's telling us this morning, don't keep a grudge in your heart. The people will have to answer to God themselves one day for their attitude toward us. They will have to answer to God. But let our attitude be one of love. I pray for your enemies. Pray for those who speak evil against you. Love them. Jesus Christ says, if you love those who love you, what good is it, about your love? You love even those who are against you. You love those who are your enemies. Then that really is the kind of love that he wants us to demonstrate. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is the kind of love God has demonstrated toward you and me. So let us love in the same way that Christ loves us. Let us more and more seek to be united, preferring one another, not trying to get the upper hand over others, not trying to impress others with our skills, with our talents, not showing off, not seeking for ourselves a greater position. But we all should humble ourselves before the Lord. We should all appreciate others. The book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. It says what? We should consider others better than ourselves. We should appreciate others' talents. We should appreciate others' God-given gifts. We should appreciate how God is using others to do what we cannot. We should love one another and pray for one another. And in this way, we can walk in unity, because we can complement one another. We can help each other to grow in Christ. We can help each other to fulfill the mandate that God has given to each one of us. Now, the third thing that we notice as the apostles waited for the Holy Spirit was that they were in prayer. Acts chapter 1 verse 14 says, they all joined together constantly in prayer. The various disciples all continued with one accord in prayer. Christ has said that the Holy Spirit would come on them in a few days. Did they just sit back and wait until the Holy Spirit came and then everything will begin? Did they just sit around and do nothing? So often, you and I are like that. We aren't really ready to do things that our Lord has told us to do. We are so ready to sit back. We are so ready to make an excuse to get out of God's plan. We say to ourselves, well, you know, God hasn't really chosen to do this. God really hasn't chosen to do that. So I'll just wait. I'll just wait. But that's not the way the disciples showed us when they were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come on them. The disciples had the assured promise that the Holy Spirit would come for sure. The Holy Spirit will come in a few days. And so what did they do? They all joined together in unity, in prayer. Praying for what? Of course, praying for the promise of Jesus to be fulfilled. Praying for the coming of the Holy Spirit. They pray that the Holy Spirit will come on them. And so today, we should pray the same. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will come on us. The Holy Spirit will unite us in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will help us to stay together, so that together we can fulfill that great commission to make disciples of all nations for the Lord. And when we pray according to God's promises in the Bible, and we know for sure that God will answer our prayers. Now we can pray for Mercedes-Benz. We can pray for PS3. And we can pray for Xbox. We can pray for Ferrari. We can pray for all these luxurious items for ourselves to enjoy. Brothers and sisters, you know what? You can even pray for getting straight A's for your 4 years of university. But are they in the Bible? You don't find that in the Bible. You can pray, but if you don't work hard, God is not going to grant you the straight A's. But when we pray according to God's promises in the Bible, we know that God will answer them in His time, according to His will. And so we should pray earnestly. Now, earnestness in prayer is vital. All with one accord in prayer. Praying together as a church, praying privately at your home, and praying whenever we come together. And here I just want to call on you and appeal to you to come to the prayer meeting on Tuesday evenings. The attendance of the prayer meeting has been, you know, up and down, up and down. Yes, you know, Auntie Winnie just prayed. Where two or three come together in Jesus' name, there Jesus is with us. It is so true. But we still like to see more people come together on Tuesday evenings to pray. And you may say, well, I pray in my Bible study group. I pray in my fellowship group. I pray at home. Isn't that enough? Well, it's good, but not good enough. I still like to see many of you come out on a Tuesday evening to pray together as a church. We need to come before God as a church, not just as a group, not just as an individual. And so I appeal to you and I call on you to come. Whenever you can come, come. Because that's how the apostles, the disciples prayed before the Holy Spirit came on them. And during their praying, what happened? Well, the disciples didn't wait for the Holy Spirit in vain. Trusting, praying, and begging for the Holy Spirit, they waited on God. They waited for Pentecost. And how much I wish that we would do the same every day, every week, every month, in unity, prayer, and strength, realizing our own inability and yearning for God's greatness of grace, yearning for God's greatness of His power. Let us come together. Now when the apostles and the disciples were praying, God was at work in that upper room in Jerusalem. He was at work in their preparation, the waiting, the prayer, the faith, the unity, because we can't even pray without God's help. We can't even trust in Him without His help. We can't even be united without His help. We are dead without God. God is at work in our hearts all the time. Working faith, which is the gift of God. Working prayer in us. Helping us to depend on Him. Helping us to rely on Him. Helping us to trust in Him. We need God, and we must persist in praying to God for His presence with us. And when the disciples were praying, God worked. Acts chapter 2, verse 2 says, suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the house, the whole house where they were sitting. Now, God often acts when we least expect it. And there are times when we think, maybe this is the time. Maybe this is the situation. Or maybe this is the way that God will act. But most often, it is not like that. God takes us by surprise. Often when we are becoming desperate, often when we have reached the end of our resources, often when we feel beaten, when we are broken, when we feel so hopeless and helpless, our Father in heaven steps in. Steps in not for our sake, steps in for the glory of His own sake, for His grace. He picks us up. He fills us with that unspeakable joy. He fills us with that unspeakable grace. God works not like man. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. 10 days after Jesus ascended to heaven, at 9 o'clock in the morning, the Holy Spirit came. Yes, even though we are so unworthy, even though we may be so weak, even though our faith is failing, for the sake of His glory, for the sake of His name, our Father in heaven will step in. Step in unexpectedly. Step in to help us. And it happened on the day of Pentecost. And it can happen today. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will come mightily upon us to revive our dead spiritual life, to revive our church. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and fill the whole house where the apostles, the disciples were sitting. And then fire. Tongues of fire rested on the disciples. A fire is an excellent symbol of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24, it says, God is a consuming fire. He burns up the chaff. He burns up the dross. He purifies the gold. He is the purifying holy fire of heaven. He can cleanse us. He can purify us so that we can be fit for His use. He sets us on fire. He helps us to get passionate, to get enthused about God's work. And the disciples began, when the Holy Spirit came on them, the disciples began to speak with other tongues. Verse 4 says, they were able to communicate. When they were communicating, deaf ears were opened, hard hearts were softened, dull minds were enlightened. And sometimes we feel people are impenetrable to God's word. They are hardened to God's word. They have their own defense mechanisms that they could, resist God's word. But then suddenly, at last, there is communication. And we are able to get through to them because of the work of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit enabled the apostles to communicate God's words in various languages. And people from all over the world understood them, understood the gospel message. God worked, yes, and we need God to work in us. The disciples waited for Pentecost. They waited in unity, in prayer, in faith, and God worked as a result. Are you and I willing to look to God today? Are you willing to look away from yourself but to God today? Are you and I longing and yearning for God to come in our midst today to help us so that we will know the power of God's Spirit so that we can carry out the work of God in this area? But the disciples were in the upper room and the door was locked. They gathered together, 120 of them. But when the Holy Spirit came on them, they didn't remain in the upper room with, that kind of good feeling, enjoying the presence of the Holy Spirit. But they went out. They went out and began to speak to people. They started to communicate the gospel. They have been hiding. They have been, trying to hide from the authority. But when the Holy Spirit came on them, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They had the power. They had that ability. They are no longer fearful. They are able to communicate the gospel. They go out as witnesses for the Lord. They become the light of the world, the salt of the earth. This is what we need to do today, brothers and sisters. As the Holy Spirit reaches out, as we respond, He will work together with us. He will work through us. If God's Spirit were to come down today to set us on fire for the Lord, tomorrow, this little church will be filled to capacity. The multitudes who come in would be overflowing to the chapel, to the classrooms in the basement, maybe even to the parking lot, to the basketball court, if we have that desire, if we have that yearning, if we have that willingness to come together in unity, harmony, and love. Brothers and sisters, we need God's Spirit. Jesus Christ says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And we have grieved Him by our sins, by our worldliness. We love the world more than the one who sacrificed His life for us on the cross. We love the world more than the one who loves us to the end. We must plead for God's Spirit to work mightily amongst us. We must ask God to forgive us so that we can be renewed, so that we can work with the Holy Spirit. And as the apostles stood up to speak, Peter, representing the whole group, stood up to speak. And he said in chapter 2, verses 14 and onward, you can follow along. I just read a few verses. A writer of the book of Acts, Luke, said, Peter began to speak, "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." And so Peter went on to explain the scripture, went on to tell the people about God's plan of redemption. The prophet Joel has spoken about this day in his book, chapter 2, that the Holy Spirit would be poured out. People of all age groups would become prophets. They would become preachers, mightily equipped and empowered, all on fire for the Lord, telling the wonderful good news of the Lord, doing the wonderful good works for the Lord. Surely, this is what we long for, a time of salvation, a time of renewal. Verse 21 of chapter 2 says, Peter said, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Everyone. And I like to speak to those who still haven't accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior yet. Are you here this morning still being unconverted? The Bible is very clear. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I speak to you, my younger brothers and sisters, my younger friends, if you haven't really called on the name of the Lord, if you're still not converted to Jesus Christ, what are you waiting for? Call on God's name and you will be saved. Don't let another day pass. Don't let another moment pass. It might be your last. I'm not scaring you, because nobody knows when our life will be finished here on earth. It can happen anytime, anywhere. Just yesterday, we heard on the news that an Indian Air India airplane crashed when it was landing. 160 people died, including men, women, young and old. You may say, "Oh, I can wait. I still have 50, 60, 70 years ahead of me." But who knows? How can you be so certain? This may be the moment God is speaking to you through Peter. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you haven't made that decision, maybe the Spirit is speaking to you today. Repent of your sins. Accept Christ as your Lord and Savior today. And today, God could call you away, and you will be lost forever in eternity. And so don't wait. Call on the name of the Lord, and you will be saved. And for the Christians in our midst, you may be saying, "I feel such a weak Christian, such a poor Christian. I haven't been able to live up to the Lord's teaching. I haven't been able to live up to His commands. And no doubt, you are a weak and poor Christian, and so am I. I'm your pastor, but I have many struggles too. Sometimes I feel very weak too. Sometimes I feel that I'm far away from God too. But today, Peter is saying to us, God is saying to us through Peter, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We can always come back to God. We can always come back to God and ask Him to forgive us, to help us start anew. It is the Lord, Christ Jesus, that we must look to. We don't look to ourselves anymore. We don't look to our experiences. We don't look to how much we possess. We don't look to what kind of groups or people or friends we keep. We look to the Lord and Him alone. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were added to the church. 3,000 professed faith on that very day. Why are you waiting when the Lord is calling you even at this moment? Through His gospel, God is calling you. Through His teaching, preaching, God is calling you to come to Him. Christ died on the cross for sinners. Christ encouraged us who are followers of Him already to come to Him. So let us all come together to Jesus Christ and call on His name. What is so important about Pentecost? Pentecost signifies spiritual renewal. In this sense, we long for a second Pentecost. Not exactly like the first one, because it will never be repeated. We long for a second Pentecost in the sense that we long for the power of the Holy Spirit to be revealed in Christ's salvation of sinners, to be revealed in the Holy Spirit setting all of us on fire for the Lord. That's what Pentecost is all about. God is just as powerful today as He was in the past. He is able to convert 3,000 souls on that day, and He is able to do the same today. He is able to make His followers a flame of fire 2,000 years ago, and He is able to do just the same today. If we can stay together, united, in harmony, in love, in prayer, in faith, if we can do that, God will help us to accomplish what He wants us to do. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was permanently given to Christ's followers, as promised. And also on that day, the mission of the church began and continues to this day to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. The world changed after Pentecost because of Jesus Christ's disciples' influence on the world. And it ought to be the same today. The world is not responding well to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not because there is no power in that message. It's not because God has taken back His promise to save people. But rather, it's because God's people have been weak, including you and me. Yes, we long for God's Spirit to reveal His power, as on that day of Pentecost. We long for a personal as well as a church-wide revival today. So brothers and sisters, this is a special day when we commemorate the coming of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray and pray for ourselves and for the church so that we can truly experience, enjoy, and use the power of the Holy Spirit. Now let us pray. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, we are sorry that many churches on earth, and even in this greater Vancouver area, don't celebrate Pentecost anymore. They don't remember this special day anymore. Oh Lord, forgive us. Oh Lord, we thank you for Pentecost. We thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to come, to renew us, to revive us, to awaken our spirit, to help us to respond to you, so that we can live the kind of new life you have given to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh Lord, we pray that you have mercy on our church, so that our church, young and old, men and women and children, will respond to the coming of the Holy Spirit, will respond to the reviving work of the Holy Spirit, will respond to the calling of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us. Help us to carry out this great commission, to finish the work that you have given us to do in this part of Vancouver. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.